Welcome to First Turn, where we play board games for the first time and discuss our immediate reactions. It's like book club, but for board games. I'm Eric, and with me is Kate, Kiwi, and BP.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Today we're going to be playing Between Two Cities, designed by Matthew O'Malley of The Search for Planet X, Between Two Castles of Mad King Ludwig, First in Flight, and Fromage, and Ben Rossett of the same games. And the artist is Beth Sobel of Wingspan, Viticulture, Cascadia, Calico, Arboretum, Three Sisters, Verdant, Lantern, Snow Trails, and 100 plus more. And it was published in 2015 by Stonemaier Games. So didn't know that.
Which I realized now is like our third Stonemaier game in a row, but it's fine. It's fine.
No, last week was different.
But that's true.
We played a bunch of them. The early 1800s is a time of immense construction and urbanization. You are a world-renowned master planner who has been asked by two different cities to help them build their city centers. Projects of such significance require the expertise of more than one person, so for each assignment, you are paired with another master planner to execute your grandiose plans. Will your planning and collaborative skills be enough to design the most impressive cities in the world? The mechanisms are closed drafting, highest-lowest scoring, neighbor scope, set collection, simultaneous action selection, solo solitaire, and tile placement. I read that as the placement at first. That's intense. All right, and the box art?
Okay, so we have a landscape scene with two cities and a bridge and a river and mountains in the background. It's nice. It's got like a little bit majestic vibe. I don't know. Yeah. Nothing that really jumps out, but it's pretty.
I would not say these are grandiose cities. Maybe this is before we get there.
Yeah. Just like factories and stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say that the description and the name of the game don't really match the, like, if I saw the box cover and I saw the name Between Two Cities, I would think that perhaps we were playing a dexterity game where we build a bridge.
I think we're building a bridge, yeah.
But then the description makes it, you know, clearly we are building another city. So are we building a city between these two cities?
I think the between refers to us because we're doing two cities at once and we got to run back and forth every day. Like we're working two jobs and we're not supposed to. Mm. So we got to like secretly like run across the bridge to get to our second job.
Mm-hmm. Be like, hold on. We're going to pause this meeting for 5 minutes. I have to use the restroom.
But instead of just hopping on a new Zoom call, you've got to like jump in your carriage and go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you're back 2 hours later and you're just like, whew, Indian did not sit well.
Kiwi.
All right, would you pull this off a shelf?
Who are you asking?
Yeah.
You know, the group. It's collective.
BP, would you pull this off a shelf?
Yes, it's got Beth Sobel's name on it.
Kiwi? I would pick it up. I'm curious because that's a game that I've heard plenty about. You know, I'm also a fan of Beth Sobel art. Stonemaier, I feel like we've had more misses recently, but generally I think they're games that we always usually want to try. So I think the answer is yes.
I'll also say yes. I think not just Stonemaier, but the two designers, right, have some games that we at least mostly like. So yeah, I'm curious. And it's always related with Castles of Mad King Ludwig. I don't know how, so I don't know. If those are paired together, then I'm on board. Also, I really like the box art. I like a landscape scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would also give it a try. I know I said that the cover doesn't really catch your eye, but it is nice. I like it. And I like the title too. Didn't talk about that.
But, yeah.
Yeah, and the description sounds interesting. Like we're collaborating but competing.
Yeah. All right. How do you think it's played? How do you collaboratively compete?
We did the neighbor scope recently, right?
Something us on the podcast or like you guys over there?
Wasn't it a mechanic on something?
Podcast? Yeah, podcast. Maybe. I guess Tapestry kind of had it because you had different things that like were based off of like, does your neighbor have this?
Mm-hmm.
So kind of. I think it'll be a bit more in this one.
Yeah. You're scoping out your neighbor city.
Yeah.
And now while I'm going to the restroom hiding from the other meeting, I'm just using a telescope to look at the other city.
It's a spy. BP, what are your thoughts on what we're going to be doing?
Building a city.
What is the most important thing to an early 1800s city?
Factories.
People.
Cholera.
Taverns.
All of these things.
all four of those essences are needed to make a good city. Mm-hmm. Okay. So
your cholera track, your factory.
Yeah. So does each of us, like, because we're all sort of competitively competing, does each of us get one of those tracks? Like I'm the cholera player and you're the tavern player.
Well, it's set collection, so you want at least one of those. You don't want much cholera.
Yeah, I just want a little bit of cholera.
A lot of cholera.
You need population controls.
Mm-hmm.
Which is generally just a good rule. Like, I don't want a ton of cholera, but I'm okay with a little bit of cholera.
What tiles are we placing?
City tiles.
Yeah.
Okay. And are those like streets or are those like buildings or are those
bridges?
Bridges?
Diseased wells.
Diseased wells, yes. Are we like scoring like who? So, highest, lowest scoring. That makes sense because highest cholera is bad, lowest cholera is bad. So you're going to get like negative points.
Medium cholera.
Medium cholera.
Yeah. The Goldilocks level of cholera.
Yeah.
Yes. Just right.
I mean, I think it's pretty straightforward. It's like Castle's Mad King Ludwig, but it's a city and there's cholera.
Mm-hmm.
And you share resources.
Like cholera.
Yes.
Which is accurate.
I mean, I think this is probably one of our better guesses.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
What is the history of cholera?
So you know what else is between two things and is part of civilization building? Mesopotamia, between two rivers, plus the world's first cities.
I don't think we're going to get anything about cholera, guys.
Yeah, no. I don't know. Was that big in Mesopotamia? I don't know why you're going this direction.
Between two rivers, cradle of civilization, birth of civilization, the first cities in the world, Uruk. I don't know that it was very well planned, but we do have being distracted here.
Stop. Just pay attention to your own thing.
Okay. So Mesopotamia, between two rivers and the city of Uruk. I don't really have much to say about it. The city was built somewhere in the 4th millennium BCE and probably was full of diseases as people were living super close together and with animals, which tends to breed diseases. Mesopotamia, if you're unfamiliar, is in modern day Iraq. I mean, it was a city at its height with 68,000 people. So for 3000 BCE, that's pretty significant, I would say, population growth. There was a lot of building that did go and was involved in it. So probably some planning. In the center of the town was the temple. Which commanded a great amount of resources. So we need to have at least a temple, maybe some defensive walls, maybe a park inside as well. All these things that Uruk had. 4000 BCE.
And then this is where, Eric, you should cue in They Might Be Giants, Mesopotamia.
Mm-hmm. I was expecting you to just sing it.
We listened to it the other day. I'm not very good at it.
Sargon.
Yeah.
Gilgamesh. Ashurbanipal. And
Who's the last one?
Sargon. Oh, it's Sargon, Hammurabi, Ashurbanipal, and Gilgamesh.
And Gilgamesh. Yep. We're the Mesopotamians. Okay. So you guys had some pretty good guesses. I feel like I'd like to play your game as well, but we're going to try the game that is in the rulebook. So obviously we're city planners. We're working with our neighbors to create perfect cities. At the end of the game, each city will be scored for its architectural grandiosity. Yeah. But your final score is the lower of the scores between the two cities you helped design. So you get points based on your shittiest city. Despite this being a Stonemaier game, we aren't just going to randomly choose the first player, sort of. There are seating randomizer cards. We can either draw one from the top deck and use the category. For example, the card might say alphabetically by city of birth, or we can deal one to each player and the order is in the number listed in the upper left. We're playing on Tabletopia, so it'll probably just be however Tabletopia randomly does it.
Oh, I want to do cities.
But I do like the idea of having to arrange ourselves alphabetically by city of birth, because that sounds like fun. And then I actually wrote, the first one sounds like fun, so we'll do that. Also, there is no real first player. Everything is mostly simultaneous. So the game is going to be played over three rounds. When we place tiles, they have to be placed in such a way that they form a 4x4 grid, so you can't go outside that 4x4 box. New tiles have to be placed orthogonally adjacent to previously placed tiles, except for the first, because there won't be any tiles. And and all tiles must be oriented in the same direction so that scoring information is at the bottom of the tile so that both players can read it. So with that knowledge, we go into the first round. Everyone's going to get 7 tiles from the box. They're going to select 2 and pass the others face down to their left. Once all players have chosen, they will reveal those tiles. Next, they will discuss with their neighbors the best location for the chosen tiles. After all tiles are placed, you'll repeat the process with the new hand you were passed. When there's only one single tile remaining in each hand, we're just going to discard it, and the round is over. So at this point, all of our cities are going to have 6 tiles. In the second round, each player is going to draw 3 duplex tiles. So it's basically a double of the single tiles. We're going to select 2 and discard the third. Then we are again going to discuss with our neighbors where to place the tiles in each city. So at this point, our cities will all have 6 tiles, 6 single tiles and 2 double tiles. And then in the third round, it's going to play exactly like the first round, except we're going to pass to the left instead of to the right. So at that point, all cities will be a solid 4x4 grid. So in general, we're going to have several different types of buildings. We're going to have shops, and they're going to be yellow, and we want to connect those in a straight line, either in rows or columns. And a shop can be part of both a row and a column. Factories are going to score points, more points if you're the city with the most factories, and then down to fewer points if you're the city with the least amount. Taverns are red. They're going to have different icons, and they're going to be score points based on the number of different icons in the city. And I believe there's 8 different icons. Offices are blue. We're going to score within sets of 7. They don't need to be adjacent to each other. So if you have 7 just scattered about your city, you'll score points for that. If you got an 8th, technically you're starting a new set. And each one is going to be worth +1 if they're adjacent to a tavern, because everybody wants to have your after hours office meeting, because people love hanging out with their coworkers. All right, we've got parks. They're green. You're going to score points when they're connected in groups of 1 or more. 1 park is 2 points, 2 parks is 8 points, and 3 is 12. Anything over 12, then each additional park is just 1. So generally, you probably want to have them in sets of 3. Houses are brown, and they're worth a point for each other building type in the city. They don't have to be adjacent. However, if the house is next to a factory, they're only ever worth 1 point, because no one wants to live next to a factory. Once all cities are scored, each player's final score is equal to the lowest scoring city they helped build. The winner has the highest lowest score. If the score is tied, those involved compare their highest scoring city. If it's still tied, then we go down the list and compare each building type in order, and the first player with the most of that current type is the winner. So they really don't want to have a tie. And those are all the rules.
Let's build.
We just finished a game of Between Two Cities. To recap, I had 54 tavern points. Kate had 54 commerce points. Kiwi had 54 factory points. And BP had 54 House
tavern?
Points? Tavern?
House points.
I guess we both just had tavern points.
You shared cities.
So for the tiebreaker, we all had 57. And then finally, for the last tiebreaker, Kate won with having a bunch of shops. So winning strategy, Kate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. let's see. I guess. I don't know. I'm struggling. I guess play tiles that you would be happy with in either city. So like you had options, even though you were choosing two, but I was like, I kind of wanted one to go in one city and one to the other, but it would be okay.
If
it didn't work out.
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else strategies?
No, I felt like I was doing the same thing. I felt like I was also playing tiles that was like, okay, this tile is definitely for that city and this tile mm-hmm. is definitely for this city. And there was really no conversation. It was just like, hey, I think this works over here. Mm-hmm. But I can't think of a single round where I picked one where I wouldn't have been okay with it going to the other city. It clearly worked best for one city over the other.
BP, any strategy?
No.
Yeah, same. I just put some tiles down.
Yes. I feel like normally I had the tiles laid down before you even were done with your other city. So you were just plop.
Yep.
How did it go?
Plop.
Okay.
Theme, did it feel like you were the master designer of two grandiose cities working two jobs where you had to shuffle across a bridge between each working day?
I felt like
alternatively,
I was
did it
down.
Feel like you had cholera?
No. No cholera.
Thankfully, no. But I've never had cholera, so I cannot confirm nor deny that this game made me feel like I had cholera.
Yeah, not really. There's a bit there. I mean, you are juggling the two areas where you're building. So that was there. But I guess there was a little there, but it's just like such a simple game. So like how much could it come right. in yeah. there? You know, you had your different building tiles, but yeah.
Anyone else on theme?
No, yeah. There's not really much there.
Yeah.
It's a standard like plopping city. I mean, I think I compared it to that Shake That City with the kind of the same exact like type of pieces, city pieces, and almost very similar scoring on things. Houses can't be next to factories, like very basic.
Yeah.
Table presence, BP?
The tiles are nice. I mean, it might turn your head because it is somewhat different in that you have tiles sitting in between the players that they're playing off of right. versus all playing in towards the middle. So kind of unique in that fashion.
Yeah.
They're all the same. So it's not like, you know, it's not like something you're going to write home about. And the art was incredibly great. But right. I mean, it was nice.
Yeah. It's kind of what you would expect in this. I think, again, similar to those other ones like this. Kiwi?
No, I'm not even sure it would turn my head. Like, because the tile, like I'm going to guess the tiles are relatively small ish, mm-hmm. maybe. I don't know. So, and the fact that they're all the same, it's a little bit boring, I think.
Yeah. And there's like roads going between them, like some other games like this.
Yeah. Which I think is a real shame because, I mean, you probably could have had anybody illustrate this, but you had Beth Sobel illustrate it. And then you really didn't give her an opportunity to like show off like what she can do, I feel like.
Yeah, I actually forgot she did the art until you just said that.
Yeah, that's sad.
Mechanics, Kiwi?
So I think it's interesting that you have to work together with like somebody else and like you're trying to make sure that one of your cities isn't like you want to keep your cities close together. But I feel like, you know, of the four people of us who understood like how the scoring went, the fact that we all scored the exact same lowest and then had the exact same highest was weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was like going to that second tiebreaker was kind of like, it was also anticlimactic, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I almost wish we just all shared the victory.
Mm-hmm. I was kind of hoping that we would go through every one and they would all be the same just so that we really could. Yeah. So it was disappointing that Well, I mean, disappointing that Kate won again, but also disappointing that we couldn't all share the victory.
Yeah.
I'm disappointed.
I mean, I don't know. I like the concept of the mechanics of like having to balance like working together with two people to figure out the optimal move. I feel like you kind of said though, is there weren't enough choices. Like it seemed like I'm going to play two and it's almost kind of obvious which one's going to go where. Mm-hmm. I feel like it didn't utilize that whole like I've got to have two negotiations with two different other like architects to figure out the best solution. It was kind of like, well, here's what I got. Okay, that works.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does this go up in player count? Would that help the massive time? Yeah.
I don't know if it would help though. Well, maybe it would because
you're not working with the exact.
Yeah.
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 How high does it go?
It goes up to 7, and BGG actually says that the best player count is 5 to 6.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could kind of see that. So it's a little bit less like.
Yeah, so you're not sharing as much. I think the fact that like I shared a city with BP, but also BP shared a city with Eric, who's also sharing a city with somebody else that I was sharing with.
Yeah.
I think you really need at least 5 to kind of spread that out a little bit, and maybe you wouldn't have the same problem that we ran into.
Right. Yeah.
Because the game is 1 to 7. The community says 3 to 7, and it's best with 5 to 6.
Okay, well, 1 seems like it would not work. Yeah. I'm sure there's other rules, but
yeah,
like it defeats the whole core mechanic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's a Stonemaier game, so it definitely has like a solo mode, but yeah.
But I do like that core mechanic. I just
didn't think it worked. You
know, right.
Yeah.
As well as I had hoped, yeah. BP mechanics?
Nothing to add.
Okay. Rules. How is it learning the game?
It wasn't too hard. It's a pretty simple game and has like a set collection scheme that works like other games we've played. So you can kind of get it, pick it up pretty easily. Or you also don't even need to pay attention to that too much and just kind of plop piles and still win. So, yeah, it's easy to learn.
I'm going to slightly disagree in that I didn't understand scoring till we did scoring. And I feel like scoring is the whole game. So I would say in that regard, I did not learn the game.
Okay.
But, I think if I was going to teach it again, I would just go through each, like, I would just say like, here's how, you know, office or shops score. Here's how offices score. And then just be like, okay, everything has to be orthogonally adjacent. And now here's your 7 tiles and go. Like, you probably don't need much more than that.
I missed that it was a 4x4 grid. And so half the city was placed when I was like, well, I guess this is what we're dealing with.
Yeah.
Didn't matter though. So worked out. BP.
Luckily there was a reference card, but I think the scoring,
I don't think the reference card helped me.
I mean, right. There's a bunch of icons on the bottom that I never paid attention to.
Kiwi, how is it? The rule book?
The rule book was fine. I mean, it's a super simple game. It's relatively easy to teach. I think the complexity comes in with how things score, and that's what would be difficult to teach, I think. Which, you know, we kind of saw that play out. But again, we all scored the same exact, and I was the only one who understood the scoring. So, like, I don't know how much you actually need.
Player interaction.
I mean, you kind of have to interact.
It is interactive, but because the options didn't seem that critical, there was less, like, discussion and negotiation and whatever than I think you expected going into the game.
Yeah.
I expected it was going to be pretty chaotic, like talking over each other to try to figure out what we're doing. But like I said, like by the time Eric got to our board, it was just, you just need to place your tile somewhere where it works.
Yeah. Well, like we only have two of the same things. So it's like, well,
just be placing it. And I think there was only like one incident, the whole two rounds where like you and BP were talking and I was trying to talk to Kate. Yeah. And I was thinking, oh man, this is chaotic. And this doesn't work well on
audio.
Yeah. It would work better at the table, but it only happened once the whole time.
Right. Yeah. And even the placement wasn't that like essential. There's only a few that really matter where they're placed.
Yeah.
So All right. Would you play it again, Kiwi?
No, I think I'm good. I do still want to try Between Two Castles just because it's got Castles of Mad King Ligwid, which is a game we love. So I'm willing to try that, but I don't think I want to play Two Cities again.
Kate?
Well, so I think it's in the category of the I'm not going to seek it out, but if it was around, I'd play it again. And also in the category of like, it would be useful to have like a simple game that I could play with like family. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm just trying to think of whether that's a yes or a no. I think I'll have to go with no because I feel like disappointment is like the biggest word that is coming up. Like like that last category, I think we were interested in like, there's going to be like arguing over, no, we need to put a factory here. No, we need to park here. And that didn't happen. So yeah, no, but I didn't hate it. So I'll play it again.
I had a real, so at the, during the game, I didn't know what was happening. Then the game ended and I thought I would play it again just so like, because now that I know the scoring, then maybe there's a bit more of a puzzle there. Mm. But then Kiwi knew how the scoring worked and he didn't do any different. So I was like, okay, well, maybe not worth it. Then we talked about higher player count. I was like, okay, maybe I'll play it again with like six people or something. But then Kate's point about disappointment, well, yeah, that one's true too. So, so I'm back on the no train as well. Okay. But maybe try and between two castles.
First time I talked you two. You
I know. I was like, oh, maybe. No. Okay.
Well, yeah. I kept reaching for the button to add it to the show notes. I kept stopping myself and going to the other one and then stopping and going to the other one. I was just like, make up your mind, old man.
Yeah. It was a real roller coaster, this one. Yeah. All right, BP.
I'm no. Even though it was fast, there was just nothing to it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yep. That was Between Two Cities. I really wanted to like it more. Yeah. I tried my best.
So if you have any recommendations of games you would like to hear our impressions on, just send them our way. You can do that via email at firstturntabletop@gmail.com, or we're on the formerly known as Twitter or Instagram at firstturncast. And the podcasting camel says as he's walking through the park, please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcatchers. We look forward to hearing from you. Play more games.
Fifty-four.
All right, Kate.
54.
Mine is also 54. No. And BP.
54.
54. Well, that is socially awkward. The problem. So now 57 is the most
for everybody as well.
For everybody as well. Okay. So Kate is the winner.
The whole
because
game?
Of,
because of that?
Yep, you win the whole game because you have 9 shops.
I love shopping.